Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 340 on August the 4th.
It is the 4th.
Okay, on August the 4th, just like I said.
And this has been a weird day. My back has been doing pretty good, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, this around noon, my back started giving me a twinge and a pain, and I just can't find a comfortable position to sit, and there's just not a thing I can do about it, and I'm not taking any painkillers. So there we go.
Because we're out of CBD oil.
Maybe so.
And we get that from my brother, your brother-in-law, Sunshine House Health Food Store. You know, people are finding that so helpful. It is wonderful to see the relief people are getting from CBD oil. This is not a commercial for the Sunshine House, although we always recommend you visiting our friends and family in any way you can and supporting them. But health food stores have been ahead of the game in this, and now you see you can purchase CBD oil at the drugstore or at the gas station. Just check out the quality,
When I saw the 10 or 12 tiers of CBD oil that they had at the local gas station, I'm going,
yeah, you just shake your head.
That's a little weird.
So it's all the rage, and for the right reason, it is helping. We know that. So anyone that has questioned whether CBD oil or the whole notion of medical marijuana, which they are not one and the same, I don't mean all to imply that, but those kinds of things are coming into play in people's lives because it works, and it's high time.
Well, that's it.
High time. Ta-da! And that's a whole other story, too. That's going down the wrong road.
But that hurts. But at any rate, it is, it's been an interesting 2 or 3 months for us, these last 3 months at Creekside Community Brew and in our little podcast area and doing all these things. And it reminds us that we ain't so young anymore, but that's a different story altogether.
Well, I've got a full grip on that. I don't even think I need reminded anymore. But in spite of that, we know we just can't. Well, someone said to us the other day, how do you do everything you do? In fact, there was a woman who was really worried about us. She came up to me and she said, I know that, you know, you write the magazine and you deliver it and you've got the coffee house and you're doing so many things, and I just wonder, when do you sleep? And I looked at her and I said, well, it's a good thing we love what we do. And she said, yes, I know all that, but when do you sleep? We do find some time. We go home sometimes right after work and conk out on the couch or the chair and kind of reinvigorate ourselves and off we go.
But well, yeah, we get to bed by 9 o'clock or so.
You get to bed by 9 o'clock. I'm still the night owl trying desperately, like we've talked about before, to become the early bird.
Well, I get to bed by 9 o'clock or so, and then you're on your own.
Yeah, I am. So
and then 5 o'clock alarm comes pretty early, and that's just part of the deal.
Well, and I tell you what, some of the things that keeps us going and invigorates us, besides that unexpected nap, is that the customers and our readers that come in to see us, it's been wonderful, and this week has been absolutely no exception to that. In fact, it's been on full drive, I guess, because we've had people walk in the door that we have come to know through the Owl Creek Gazette, and we just have just enjoyed ourselves immensely because of it.
And a beautiful couple came in just the other day and looked at us like we were rock stars. Oh, they have family in Indiana, then they pick up the magazine when they go to Blue Springs Restaurant. And so they saw that we had this. We saw they had our coffee shop, so they got off the highway again and stopped in just to say hi. And
yeah, they said, we just came in to meet you. And it was so nice because they have been picking up the Owl Creek Gazette, like you said, from Blue Springs Cafe. Mm-hmm. And they live in Missouri. They traveled to Indianapolis to see their grandson and their kids. And so when they picked up our current issue, that was the first time they had learned that we owned the coffee shop, and they had a way to come in and just say, hey. So they did.
Yeah, and that is kind of fun to see people come through the door like that.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. And we wish that we could have. We've been snapping pictures of all kinds of people that have come in the front door, and we just at that minute were busy and didn't have a chance to say, hold on. They had to get back on the road anyway, but they said they would come back the next time they're headed this, you know, through this way again.
We'll snap them again.
Yeah. Well, snap them for the first time because we did not get their photograph.
Yeah.
And then the couple that came in from Overland Park, Kansas, were Phil and Mary Griffin. And they grew up in my hometown of Vandalia, Illinois. They graduated in 1970. I graduated in 73. My brother graduated in 69. And for our listeners, all those dates probably don't mean a thing unless they're all about our same age. But we had something that may resonate with people. We sat down and talked about the stores that were part of our growing up years, and anybody that grew up in a small town remembers the stores they shopped in, the stores they bought their shoes in, where they ate at the local cafe.
And if you're from Vandalia and you grew up in this era, then you know the Upper Dime and the Lower Dime.
Well, and you know, this is funny because Jeff, my brother, says he calls at the Big Dime store and the little one or something like that. He doesn't remember the upper and lower. I don't know if I dreamed that up myself. But I could have sworn Mom and I always said Lower and Upper Dime. Anyway, well, dime stores full of candy, full of toys, full of their own original smells. In fact, one of the dime stores even roasted their own nuts, or at least had nuts that were warm.
Mm-hmm.
And that smell would permeate through that store, and you walked in and you knew right where you were. So.
And it would certainly cause the kids today to walk in that with peanut allergies and fall over on the floor.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even thought of that. Maybe that's the kind of thing that you have to have, what, warnings on the front door now?
Yeah. And we didn't have peanut allergies back then.
At least none that were so prevalent or that people could put, you know, could connect up with.
And no particular reason why they started going an odd, it's an odd anaphylactic reaction that you have to the peanuts. And then to have that odor permeate the building and to have somebody walk in on it, that could set someone off, I would think.
But it does make you wonder why they happen now, why so many things have changed now. It could be things in the air, chemicals in the air, the way the peanuts are produced, the chemicals that are used in there. I don't know that. All that, but something has changed because peanut butter was a staple in the American diet.
Absolutely. And you didn't go for a Friday lunch any place in most schools. Our school, our grade school, was peanut butter on Friday. So that was just the way it was.
Did you have chili with it?
Well, peanut butter and chili and peanut butter and some sort of soup. Yeah. And that was just staple fare. It's another thing altogether, though. We have got just an opportunity came across for us to watch a guitar player that we hadn't ever seen before, and that was Lucas Nelson. And you remember the first time we saw him, and we said, wow, that sounds like Willie Nelson.
I do.
And it was astonishing to find out that, yes, it was his son, his oldest son.
I think he's saying Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And folks, we haven't been lucky enough to see Lucas perform, but we found him on YouTube. And it's just like, oh my goodness, he sounds just like Willie, his dad. And we loved Willie Nelson. We did get to see Willie Nelson perform, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I had bought you tickets years ago for your birthday. And we went down to the Jaquoin State Fair to watch him. And the tickets were not the best tickets, and I didn't know what to pay attention to, and we got seated right behind
a pillar.
A pillar. Not good. We did a lot of stretching.
We did. Craned our necks out one way or the other. Went to the bathroom a lot. Just so you could get a good view of the stage. Yeah, it was still it was a nice concert to go to, though. It was an outdoor, of course, outdoor event, and But to see Lucas Nelson and do that song, I thought, my goodness, how did Willie come up with a replacement for himself?
Well, you see that sometimes. They're just the spitting image or the spitting sound of their parent.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, is it wonderful. Talk about a living legacy. Oh, and then we've been watching on YouTube them sing, and there's another, Lucas has a brother, and I can't remember his name right now, but they all share that musical talent and passion and drive and love of being on the road. And now they're together oftentimes on the road as a family, grown up and performing. So it's really nice. And so once we started to like one song he did, we started checking more and more and more, and fell in love with one of the songs that he has written, Lucas himself, Turn Off the News, Build a Garden. And it is almost I shouldn't say almost relevant. It's relevant, especially considering what's going on in the world today with the news of the shootings
in
El Paso and Dayton. Just heartbreaking.
Yeah, our hearts go out to the families and everybody involved. But for goodness sakes, back-to-back shootings like this. And then just before we went on the air, you said you saw something that was about some shootings that were going on in Chicago, but they were, I believe, separate incidents.
I read it so fast, I couldn't tell enough about it to know what was actually happening.
But how could that be? I mean, guns are outlawed in Chicago.
Well, we always go here, and this is the conversation everyone has anytime anything like this happens. And, of course, what you and I always say is killing is illegal already.
Mm-hmm.
And if that law alone isn't enough to stop someone from breaking it, then nothing will. It may be easier if you have easier access, but I've seen a lot of people coming to grips with the fact that it isn't the gun, it is mental health or issues beyond that that we're unaware of with the individual who's killing, because, you know, everyone knows killing is wrong and illegal. But so there's something that strikes a chord with that individual that we don't understand.
And then, you know, perhaps universal background checks would help, and I'm not opposed to that, but, you know, agencies have to communicate with each other in order for that to work. And there are many, many T's uncrossed and I's undotted in that neighborhood of events that occur that allow mentally disturbed people to obtain permits to have a weapon or to have the capacity to purchase. And even that would not stop them if they want to get it.
Well, that's what we've said many, many times. The reality is if someone is hell-bent on doing something so destructive in their own life and to others, that chances are good they'll find another way. It may be more difficult, and maybe it would dissuade some. So, there's no way to have the perfect answer to this.
There is no perfect answer to it.
But it does require that we look at the reasons behind the shootings. And you and I have talked about this privately. I think, of course, if it's true mental health, if there's really someone that is mentally ill, they need care and treatment. The kind of care and treatment may be debatable, because so often when there's a problem and they put them on some medication that can offer other side effects that end up harming a person and destabilizing their behavior in a different way, then I think I don't have any statistics in front of me, but I do know that many of the shooters involved in other situations like this have been found to be on medication that was prescribed by a doctor or a psychologist. A psychologist can't prescribe, but a psychiatrist.
Yeah. And how many times have you heard somebody say, well, they're off their meds? Well, you know, if somebody goes off, it just decides to not take the medicine that they've been given.
Or sometimes the medicine does the harm.
Yeah.
So I would always say to look into alternatives as far as mental health and healing. But I have to wonder, when we were growing up, and again, we're talking about, you know, how things were when we were growing up, this kind of thing wasn't as rampant. At least the news wasn't 24/7 and we didn't know about it. So I don't know. Maybe these things happened and we just didn't have access to that kind of what, immediate input and discussion. But I think a lot of times when we were growing up, there were mothers at home with their children, and the neighborhood had safe places to go. And if that could be the case again, I would love to see in society if mothers or fathers, it doesn't have to be a mother, but if there were parental guidance at home and in the neighborhood, someplace, not every kid that we knew had their mother that could stay home from work to be there when they got home from school. But I know that we all knew there were places you could go. There were mothers or parents home. I think if that would be the case again, I think we would see some opportunities for people to bully less, be bullied less, be reprimanded when they were doing the bullying. And just warning signals could be observed and spotted early. If you've got people there that care, sometimes just being there allows you to see and observe and question and maybe get someone help that they might not have gotten had it never been witnessed, had it never been seen. So, you know, I know the whole world can't go back to the way it was in 1950 or 60. Darn it anyway. But I do think we can learn from lessons and remember what was the best of all the different times and not just look back and say, oh my goodness, the world was better when this, this, and this happened. But I do think we can pull from the best and try to find some resources to help what guide our local neighborhoods. And that goes again back to this song that we talked about that we have only given the name for. But let's read some of what this says.
Yeah.
You want to do that for us, Don?
Sure. Turn off the news and build a garden. I believe that every heart is kind. Some of them are just a little underused. Hatred is a symptom of the times lost in these uneducated blues. I just want to love you when I can. All these other thoughts have me confused. I don't need to try it and understand. Maybe I'll turn off the frickin' news. Turn off the news and build a garden. Just my neighborhood and me. We might feel a bit less hardened. We might feel a bit more free. Turn off the news and raise the kids. Give them something to believe in. Teach them how to be good people. Give them hope that they can see. Hope that they can see. Turn off the news and build a garden with me. Yeah, why not?
And I think the actual garden could be anything. It doesn't have, I mean, obviously it's wonderful if you get out and build a garden and grow your food and know where it comes from and cook your meals together and join each other around the family table.
Yeah.
But I think build a garden could almost be symbolic of other things, activities you share, turn off the news. And like I said, I made a post on Facebook and I said, no one is saying here to be uninformed by turning off the news. But with a 24/7 news cycle, the never-ending news, and I put news in quotes because after a while, it's
She's
no longer...
She's actually making air quotes, folks.
After a while, it's no longer news. It's just...
Drivel. It's constant bombardment.
It's a bombardment, right.
Yeah.
And it hits us over the head with death and destruction and misinformation and speculation and even politicians' agendas and the network TV's agendas. And that can't be the best way to go. That can't be the answer. So
no.
Turn off the news is more than just that. It is turn off the news and build a garden. Listen to your children. Raise your children. Listen to your neighbors. Help your neighbors.
You
come
know,
together.
When I grew up, we built go-karts, for crying out loud. We didn't have thumb-controlled, you know, our computer wasn't in the palm of our hands. I wanted a computer. I had to build the damn thing, and did. And the possibilities of doing something other than what we're doing right now are innumerable, and just as educational as what's going on. And they connect you with people. People to people connections is what's missing, I believe. And that thin thread that exists from one phone to another or the phone to the cloud is it's unreal. It is not real. It's fake. It is not real.
Well, and if you have a good relationship already with somebody established, just like we're fortunate that we have a good relationship with our sons, then we utilize the thin thread of communication from...
We use the good side of it. That's right. But how can we establish community with kids that need to see and do with their hands and connect with people instead of connecting with machinery or connecting with technology?
Well, and I think it doesn't have to be either or. I think it can be the best of all of it. And I think if you have that firm foundation in a relationship, then you can also enhance it with the others. But if you don't have that, then that's sad. And that's where parents need to get really involved with their kids. Seriously involved with their kids. Just like Lucas Nelson says, turn off the news and raise the kids. Give them something to believe in. Teach them how to be good people. Give them hope that they can see. Hope that they can see. Turn off the news and build a garden with me. So you have to get involved in your children's lives. And, you know, I've said this to you before. I've never understood when someone works a full day away from their children and then plans lots of activities or is involved in lots of organizations that of an evening takes them away from their children. If you're involved in activities that incorporate your children into those evening events, that's wonderful. That's ideal. Or stay home with your kids. I mean, that's ideal too. In fact, that would be my personal preference. But there's got to be a giving that if parents see there's a problem, or even if they don't see it, maybe that's it, even if they don't see there's a problem yet, take, what I won't even say precautions, take an active interest. They should be first on your priority list. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, and let your kids be kids. Don't, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to take them to Little League softball and let them go at each other like the parents do sometimes, you know, because it's more competition for the parents than it is the kids. Just let them be kids, for God's sake.
Right. And if they go to those events and if you are there with them, then be that respectable, responsible adult that teaches them how to behave. Let them look at you and learn how to be a good person. And we need to say that again. Let them look at you and learn how to be a good person. And I don't want to come off as a lecturing anybody, but I want to sound more like it's a plea for all of us to step back from our situation and say, how can I be a better parent? How can I be a better person? How can I be a better teacher? How can I better be a better shopkeep? How can whatever I'm doing, how can I be better to the people around me, the community I live in, the neighborhood I inhabit? And like we talked about on last week's show, the invisible people, open your eyes, and the kid that doesn't make much noise or isn't the squeaky wheel or whatever, pay attention. Just look. Maybe that little girl or that little boy needs some assistance or attention or a pat on the back or an I love you. Maybe they need something extra. And if we can give that as parents or neighbors or people that just are out in the community, then that's what we should do. I can remember Mom and Dad's store downtown in Vandalia. Several kids had felt uncomfortable being around older kids maybe that were bullying them. And Mom and Dad let those kids' parents know. I don't even think the kids particularly knew Mom and Dad were aware of this. But they said, let them know that our store is a safe place and they can come in and get away from those kids, or they can come in and just take a break after school if they're walking home. This is a safe place. So maybe we could do more of that.
I'd love to. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. And it is a safe place. Nobody's, you know, nobody's going to harm anyone here. I guarantee
you. Okay, so you're talking about we can personally do that at Creekside Community Group.
We could be that safe place.
And that's what people need to know across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you see a child that's hurting, you don't have to run to DCFS and tell them. Talk to the parent.
Yeah. And, you know, if you need to, if you could let your child know that if they need to get picked up here, they can be here till you come get them. And that's fine by us. You know, that's a safe place. That's what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a safe place.
So if you have a chance, go on YouTube, check out Turn Off the News, Build a Garden, because while we read it here, Lucas Nelson sings it a tad better. He wrote it. It's his words. And he sings it with the passion and the kindness that you would hope he would. The fact that he sounds like his dad and doesn't hurt anything at all either.
Not a lick.
And so that's kind of our thoughts and reactions to what has transpired, like we said, in
Dayton and El Paso. Mm-hmm, and it stinks. It's terrible. It's a black mark in history that we'll never overcome until we start loving each other.
And I've said this before, too. And love is vital and important, obviously. I'm a big fan of love. But I also know that if you can't feel a love for all people, and if something in your life doesn't allow that till you grow into that, if you will pay attention to the non-aggression principle and you oppose the initiation of force or fraud against another, then you'll know that you don't have to love them to not harm them. You'll know that you don't have to love them to not steal from them. You'll know that you don't have to love them to not lie to them. And if in time you practice those things, maybe it will be easier to see them as equals and individuals, and you can learn to love them and ideally love yourself first. That makes it a whole lot easier to love others. And if you find you don't love yourself, and if you don't know how to be respectful for other people, seek help. There's nothing wrong with finding someone who knows more than you, whether it's a professional in the field, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a pastor. Someone, get help if you need it, and help your kids get help if they need it too.
Absolutely. I don't think that could be better said.
Well, thank you, Don.
Yeah. We had a lot of people come through here this week.
And we started off
talking
that way. About that. We did want to say that we had Bill and Lynn Brendel from Centralia, Illinois, come in. What a wonderful couple. These people are full of wisdom and caring and creativity. And we get to see so many people at their best, and the kindness that is given to us from them. We wish that everyone got to see this. I think people's world would be happier and healthier if they had these kinds of connections and relationships that we've been able to develop. Sean and Dee Pope from Fresno, California popped in, and they were visiting in Greenville for about a week, and I think we saw them almost every day they were here, a nice young couple. We met Dee for the first time. We'd known Sean when he lived in Greenville years ago. Saw him all the time here when Creekside Community Brew Coffee House was Adam Brothers.
Yeah, he's a hiker too, guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Charles and Joe Hudson from Vandalia. He was a winner in our art show. Last year we had our autumn dinner, the adult division, and his owl picture hung here for a while on these walls. And we've got several blank walls now, and he looked at it and he said, "This is just killing me." An artist sees all these walls, and it's this canvas we just need to fill up with more artwork. So I'm suspecting he'll be bringing some artwork in.
I suspect the same thing.
And then Richard and Linda Barth popped in, not this past week, but the week before. And it's so cute because they have developed what they call the Owl Creek Gazette Tour. And many businesses that advertise with us in our publication are on this tour. And they popped in, had lunch with us, and continued on. They'd been to the Tibbetts House, bed, breakfast, and books over in Highland, came here, went on, headed over to Vandalia to the Sunshine House Health Food Store. So that was always fun to see them. And Gary and Cindy Adolph popped in with their son, Casey, and daughter-in-law, Catherine. And that was great to see them. These people are all kind and good and help us be better people ourselves, I would think.
Well, that's exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. And we're proud to call them friends.
We are.
And, you know, we also got to think about one of our sponsors here, too, that's been with us for a long time, is K&R Wireless. And I want to let you know that K&R is they're top notch in internet and data center work. Contact K&R if you live in the greater Effingham area, including Altamont, Effingham, Dietrich, Hartville, Teutopolis, Siegel, Shumway, and Lilyville. They do wireless internet without compromise. That's really it. That's what they do. You can contact them at 217-347-5967 And make sure you give them a call if you've got any need for internet service in that area.
Absolutely. We appreciate their support. It's been ongoing for a long time. Thumbs up to them for helping us keep Creekside with Don and Jan alive and well.
Indeed. So, I mean, that's our little program for the week. Love your neighbor as, you know, you love yourself. And I don't think you can go too wrong with that.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Good night.
Good night.